Studio 360.
A few years ago, I went to Switzerland for a week to write an article about the Large Hadron Collider. It is that giant, miles-long subterranean particle accelerator that is really unlocking some of the secrets of the universe and might unlock more. The challenge for me as a writer who is not a scientist is to learn enough about the science of particle physics to then explain that to a general audience. And also not make the scientists that I interviewed, when they read the article, think I'm some kind of idiot. All of which is part of the impetus behind a program called Dance Your PhD. It is an annual competition, a decade old now, in which doctoral students in science explain their scientific findings through elaborate staged choreography. Every year, these young scientists submit videos of the dances they've created on subjects like supersymmetry and group coordination in meerkats and, say, dynamic control of chiral space, whatever that means. Uma Najendra won the competition a few years ago with her entry called Plant Soil Feedbacks After Severe Tornado Damage. John Bohannon is the creator and mastermind of Dance Your PhD and also a reporter for the journal Science. John, Una, welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, glad to be here.
So, John, where did the idea for Dance Your PhD come from? How did that spring into your head?
It was a drunken New Year's Eve party in Vienna, Austria, where I was a foreign correspondent some years back. I basically wanted to get a bunch of scientists to dance. We had a party. I was organizing it with a DJ friend. And I just had this sense that it was going to be dull, that people weren't going to really let loose. But I knew that they were really competitive and that most of them were PhD students. So I came up with this idea of forcing them to dance by making them compete with each other to explain their work without using words. You know, we did this thing and I shot video of it with friends and we put it on the web and it just surprisingly took off and people started emailing me from all over the world asking when the next contest is. Of course, there was no plan for a next contest, but, you know, the internet had spoken.
And even though you were a foreign correspondent, you have and had then your PhD in molecular biology?
That's true. I'm a scientist by background.
And your dissertation was what?
On the evolution of bacteria.
And until this night in Vienna, had you ever thought like, ooh, I want to perform this. I want to dance to this bacteria study of mine.
It had honestly never occurred to me.
And the dance you did was what exactly?
My dance, if you can call it that, was essentially a conga line of me and a bunch of friends and other random scientists, where we were supposed to represent the genes that are lined up in the operon of the bacterial genome that I was studying. And then a mutation happens in me, and I start doing kind of a funky butt dance, and then things get chaotic. That's pretty much it.
I just hearing you describe it, I understand bacteriology a little better.
Well, that's the idea. That's kind of all you need to know. Things go wrong and things get funky.
Words to live by. Now, Uma, I want to watch the video of your winning dance. There are subtitles explaining what's going on, but talk us through what is happening as it plays.
Right.
So here we are, opening shot in an actual forest.
Yes, we are in the Appalachian Mountains. This is footage that I took from my field site.
And what's a field site exactly?
The field site is where I would conduct my surveys and experiments. This is in the Chattahoochee National Forest.
So now we're in a big studio, I guess?
Yes, this is Canopy Studio in Athens, Georgia.
And we see 6 dancers on trapezes wearing green tights, and then some other dancers sort of writhing on the ground wearing brown, and then a guy standing absolutely still hanging from a trapeze in the back.
Jeff is standing in the back. He's being the mature pine tree in this instance, and all the rest of us little seedlings are on trapezes.
So you're one of these several people on trapezes?
Yes. We're all seedlings slowly growing And the people on the ground are soil organisms. They're crawling, emanating sort of from the roots of the mature tree.
So the people on the trapeze have some green on them, and the people on the kind of writhing on the ground are brown, and there's some yellow stuff down there. Mm-hmm. Does all of that represent some biological reality?
Well, the yellow on the ground is representing roots, and the green for the leaves and the seedlings, and brown for the soil organisms. They're representing fungi and bacteria that are in the soil.
Oh, I see.
The folks who were on trapezes, those are my trapeze classmates, who, you know, have plenty of dance experience, though most of them don't really have much science experience. And the folks that are on the ground, the soil pathogens, they are my colleagues in graduate school who have a ton of science experience, though not much dance experience.
How interesting.
So they were
like different organisms in a way.
Indeed. But they all came together in the same ecosystem.
So now a tornado has come. What is the tornado doing?
Yes. Tornado is hitting and making the mature tree fall over and die, basically. And as he dies, all the soil organisms that the fungi and bacteria that were on his roots, they're changing. They're sort of dying as well, or becoming much less prevalent in the soil.
And now the dancers on the floor in brown, the soil organisms, have retreated, and the seedlings up on the trapeze are stretching acrobatically upward.
So now we've got the seedlings growing again, and because the mature tree has now died and the soil organisms are affected by the new environment, the seedlings are growing differently.
Well, it's a lovely dance, and I understand this little bit of biology that I didn't before, so kudos again. John, I assume it's not just you who watch all these videos and then decide, oh, Uma's the winner, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't decide the winner at all. I've got an expert panel of scientists and people from the dance world.
And they're looking for what? It's not like a normal dance competition, certainly, or a normal academic competition.
No, that's right. I asked the judges to first score each dance on its scientific merit, and then sort of put that aside, and then just look at it as a piece of art. And then there's a third score, which is, now bring them together. How creatively did they bridge the two worlds of science and art? If you're not used to performing, let alone putting a video on the internet, which will forever be associated with your name, your tendency is to hold back a little bit and treat it a little bit as a joke, you know, sort of slyly winking all along. And the danger of doing that in art is that you're also asking the audience to just sort of not take it as seriously.
Right. Are there scientific ideas that simply resist this? Like, I don't know, theoretical physics?
In the beginning of this contest, I had the same hunch you did, which is that the more abstract the idea behind a piece of science, mm-hmm. the harder it would be to translate. And in fact, I see no relation at all. Some of the best dances have been totally arcane. It's like a magic trick. You know that the rabbit of this, you know, totally incomprehensible idea was in that box, and now actually it's not. It's actually in your head.
Well, you know, I can completely get that. And also I've thought for a while, as I read and am basically baffled by theoretical physics, I often think, they're already in the realm of metaphor and art when they call the thing superstrings. Do you know?
Yeah, that's the problem with jargon. And that was actually one of the goals of this contest, was what happens when you don't just ask scientists to drop the jargon, but you force them? You know, you
right.
basically say, okay, explain your work, and you're not allowed to use any words at all.
Right. Now, I want to watch the winner of the competition from the year before Uma. This is by a PhD student named Cedric Tan, and its title is Sperm Competition Between Brothers and Female Choice.
So Cedric, at the time, was working on a PhD at the University of Oxford on sperm selection.
She told me that she liked Black Sabbath, so grew my hair and wore a leather jacket.
Sperm selection doesn't just mean choosing a mate. In fact, I think African guinea fowls, they're birds, as you can see. He devised this sort of...
Now we see a video of birds to remind us.
Yeah, they're actual roosters.
Yes, I get it.
And so he devised this really stylish bird dance. And what he's depicting is the part of mate selection that we're all familiar with. You either go out with someone or you don't. You have sex with one person or a different person. And that determines which genes are getting into the next generation.
Always one step behind, trying to keep up with that rocker. And now, in the video, there are a bunch of dancers wearing... swim caps and Speedos.
Now we're watching what's happening inside the body. And each of these guys is a sperm. And so now you see the egg, represented by that woman in a giant ball.
There's a woman rolling around in one of those giant, clear, plastic human hamster balls. And the sperm men are bouncing off her enclosure.
No, she'll never make up her mind, 'cause she's just a scene still kind of go.
Yeah, there's no doubt that this video got extra points just for its production value alone.
Yes.
So there's some synchronized swimming of sperm surrounding the egg. And, you know, essentially they're trying to figure out who's going to have a shot at actually fertilizing the egg. Here's the final moment. Yay, got in.
Unlike Uma's video, there is a kind of mischievous comedic element to this dance by Cedric Tan.
Oh, absolutely. Cedric went completely the other way. He went to full wink.
Yeah.
The whole thing is supposed to make you giggle all the way through.
And Uma, now 2 years later, after you've been the winner, is this a thing that people who meet you and work with you know about you now as you make your way in science?
Yes, it is. People often will have seen my name associated with the dancer PhD. Or if they haven't, then they will eventually know that I'm interested in science and dance because I'm continuing to do more science and dance.
Oh, that's so cool to hear. That's really great to hear.
For instance, I'm currently working on using folk dance to communicate some basic concepts in plant science.
And by folk dances, you mean... Square dance? What kind of folk dances?
Square dance is one of them. There's an Appalachian-style folk dance that's very similar to square dance called Contra. I've also worked with some of these same trapeze dancers to bring other science dance to the Atlanta Science Festival, working in collaboration with some other fantastic science aerialists, even in the Atlanta area.
Hold on, science aerialists? As we're peeling back the onion, I'm finding new areas of science and art intermingling that I didn't know.
It's really amazing. Yes.
Wow. Well, you know, you're way, way too young probably to have ever seen these things. But when I was a little kid, they used to show us things in school, these Disney, beautifully made Disney cartoons about science that made kids think, oh, I didn't know I was interested in how the atom is created, but now that Goofy and Donald have shown me, I'm into it. But so you're doing a similar thing. As you go further, presumably in academia, have you learned anything from this process that will make you a better teacher, do you think?
I certainly think so. Definitely learning about how to use different forms and use different creative measures to try to get across concepts. And definitely practice in distilling down to a core message without taking away from the complexity of the science itself.
Uma and John, thank you both so much.
Well, thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. What a pleasure.
I love that the Dance Your PhD contest exists, and this year's edition is open now for entries, but not for much longer. If you're a current PhD student, you've got until September 29th to enter. For inspiration, you can see the videos I watch at studio360.org. Matt Frassica produced that story.